Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Touch the subject of creation. And he asked me, have you ever stopped to think the things that happened, how they went about when Jesus created Adam? And immediately my mind started picturing things. You know, I have worked in construction for about 39 years. And while doing that, I have come to the point where when they tell me to go do a job, I picture in my mind exactly how that job is going to look before I even start it. So I got quite a good picture of what Jesus might have been doing that day that he created Adam. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And it says, after God had finished creating everything, he said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then in verse 29, God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be food. Then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, it says, then the Lord planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put man, whom he had formed. God looked at Adam and said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper. And he created woman. And I might add, man has never been the same ever since. Have any of you ever stopped and imagined what was taking place when God created Adam? I picture in my mind God the Father standing there, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, discussing what was to take place. I also picture angels hurrying to get there because I have just heard that Jesus is going to create man. And they're hurrying to get a better position so they can watch, because they know that Jesus is about to create a masterpiece. And they wanted to see the master at work. And with anticipation, they watched and waited to see the finished product that Jesus was going to create. Then Jesus, he looks around. And he kneels down on the damp earth. Scriptures tells us that at that time, God had not caused it to rain. So a mist would come out from the ground at night and watered the earth. So the whole earth was moist. Then Jesus started gathering the damp clay. Here is a king, a divine being, who could very easily have commanded an angel to get down on the earth and shape a man. But he himself chose to get down on the ground and shape this man. And as he worked, I picture him singing. And then the angels joining in and song. And every once in a while, when Jesus was forming the shape, I picture him looking up at his Father, using the Father as a pattern to form a perfect being. And as he finished shaping that form, he gets up and stands there together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and they look down. And I can imagine the Father turning to the Son and saying, "That is good." Then Jesus once again kneels down. And as he kneels down, he caresses the face of Adam, fixes his hair, and then he gets close to him and breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. And as he gets up, I can almost see into his eyes with his eyes full of love, like when a mother first holds her first child, her first newborn child, that love that you see in her eyes. You mothers know what I'm talking about. Yesterday, I was hearing in the news, this woman had a baby. I don't know if it was a baby girl or baby boy. Anyway, she had a child. And the doctors pronounced the child dead. And they brought the child to her so that she could hold him for a little while before they took him. And they laid the child on her chest. And she laid there and she was caressing the body of the baby and talking to her. But only God knows what her heart was praying to God. The doctors don't know what happened, but the baby came alive in her arms. That is God's love. Ever since Jesus created man, he has been taking care of us, starting with Adam. He planted a garden. As a home for Adam. He had all the trees and herbs that yield seed and fruit for his food. He made woman as a helper to him. And even today, he's still in the business of furnishing for all our needs. While in the garden, God would come and he would walk with Adam and Eve. And I imagine that as he walked with them, he would talk to them and tell them about the plans that they had for him. Adam got to know God's voice. As soon as God would come into the garden and he spoke, Adam knew that it was God. God provided everything for Adam. He told him that everything in the garden they could have, except for one thing. He forbade him to eat from the tree of knowledge. But as we know, they went ahead and did it anyway. So that brings us to today's world. We now are living in a sinful and dying world, struggling day to day just to survive. Many people are having a hard time even putting food on their tables. A lot of people are losing their homes, not knowing what they're going to do or where they're going to go. Brothers and sisters, it's getting harder and harder each day. But you know, it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus made us a promise in Matthew 6, 25 to 33. And let's go there and read that promise. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to the stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, Jesus loves you and me with that same love that he had when he created Adam. Today he wants us to be happy. Just that we kind of maybe gotten unattached from God. That we no longer know his voice when he calls out to us. You know, it's hard to know the voice of God when we maybe don't open our scriptures, when we maybe come to church maybe every once in a while. Because when we come to church, God speaks to us through this book. The messages that are given from the pulpit are not our message. They're God's messages. When a person gets up here to speak, we are only speaking what God allows us to speak. And if you're not here to listen to the messages, how are you going to recognize his voice when he speaks to you and says, don't worry, I will take care of you? How are we going to know it's him? You know, Sabbath It's a day that we should come and worship God. Where are we on Sabbath if we're not here listening to God's message? I know we all have a life. We all have worries and things to do. But we have 6 days in which to do them. Why can't we set aside the Sabbath to come to listen to God? He says, ask and I will give it to you. Well, you might say, I ask, but nothing happens. Well, maybe we have to learn how to ask. Maybe we haven't been asking the right things. In Luke 11, 9 to 13, it says, and I say to you, ask and I will be given, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to you, to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I found this in the Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary, which I would like to read to you. And it says, prayer is not so much a matter of persuading God to accept our will concerning a matter as of our discovering his will with respect to it. He knows our needs before we ask. More than that, he knows what is best of us. In contrast, we are often but dimly conscious of our own needs. We frequently think we need things that we do not need, and that may even be harmful to us. We may not even be aware of our greatest needs. Prayer brings our wills, thus our lives, into harmony with the will of God. It is the divinely appointed means of educating our desires. It is not the true purpose of prayer to work a change in God, but to work a change in us, so that we desire both to will and to do his good pleasure. God will send an answer to every sincere petition uttered in humility and faith. He may say yes, he may say no, or he may say simply wait. Sometimes answer to prayer may be delayed because a change must come about in our hearts before God can answer it. There are definite conditions to answering prayer, answered prayers. And if there seems to be delay, we should inquire whether the difficulty may be with us. Remember that all that Jesus receives from God, we too may have. He holds nothing back. Just as he held nothing back from Adam when he created him, he's still there to furnish all our needs. But maybe, like I say, we need to learn how to ask. Remember that Jesus, brothers and sisters, the Lord is talking to us. Do we know his voice? Let's humble ourselves before the Most High God. Open your hearts. Don't just pray, but go down deep into your soul and speak to your Father and tell him, Lord, you promised I need you now. You know, I mentioned this before to you a while back. Maybe some of you weren't here. But when you ask the Lord, and like I say, open your soul to Him, He answers. One day, I was in a bind with money-wise, because that's when our job at the refinery had shut down and we were out of work, and I needed some money desperately for something I had to take care of. And I needed to get it right away. Well, I sat there. I was at the house by myself. My wife was working. And I said, well, I'll try to do this, and maybe I can get money this way or do that. But nothing seemed to work. Finally, I had gone all day running this through my mind, and finally, out of desperation, I just says, Lord, I need your help. I need some money for my bill. And then I forgot all about it. I went about my business. I didn't think about it anymore. Well, when I finished, I was cleaning the yard. When I finished, I went and took off my shoes and sat down in my recliner. And I had just barely sat down when somebody at the door knocking. And it was a friend of mine from Marvin that I hadn't talked to for a while. I seen him around town. I'd wave at him. He'd wave back. But I had never stopped to talk to him for a while. And he was there at my door. And his name's Fred. I said, Fred, hey, come on in. He said, no, I just got a minute. Come on outside. I want to talk to you. I'm thinking maybe you can help me with something. I said, okay, fine. So I walked out. And he says, you know, my son-in-law wants to pour some cement. And I was just wondering if you could figure out how much cement he needs. I said, sure, it'd be no problem. Just give me the measurements. So he gave me the measurements, and I figured out what he needed. And he says, you sure that's what he needs? I said, yeah, according to the measurements, that's what he needs. He says, okay, what are you doing? I said, nothing. I'm just sitting down. I just finished cleaning the yard. He said, you got a minute? I said, yeah. He says, you want to go down to with me to his house and look at the area that he wants to pour? I said, yes, I'll go with you. On the way over there, he was telling me, he says, you know, he's got this guy that he wants to have him do the job for him, but he's not too sure about him. He says, he's kind of I don't know. He says, he don't trust him. He don't know if he can do the job. So he don't trust him. He says, you think you can do the job for him? I said, yes, I'll do the job for him. So, you know, when you open your soul to the Lord, I mean, open your soul. That's all God is waiting for. There is no need. There is no need for us to be hurting. I know there's a lot of people that are in need. There's a lot of people that are ill, can't afford to go to the doctor because they don't have the means, no insurance. No, there's a lot of people that can't even pay their utility bills because they haven't had a job for a long time. My wife was just telling me about the lady that cuts her hair. Her husband had a heart attack, I believe. He was a truck driver, and he couldn't work anymore. Didn't have insurance. So they lost their home. Can't work anymore. He don't have no money. So they had to move in with her sister. And that's just one person. A lot of people out there. It don't have to be that way. The Lord said that He would provide. The Lord said that He would be there by us. All we have to do is believe. and have faith that the Lord will provide for us. And we don't have to suffer. I always pray to God not to give me too much. I know I read it here in the Bible. I couldn't find it the other night. I was trying to look for it. It's a prayer. And I repeat this prayer for myself, not to give me too much that I will forget about Him. And not to give me too little that it will cause me to murmur about Him. Just to give me enough. Just to give me enough for my everyday. I found this little gem in this book that my wife got. It's called His Passion. It's Christ's journey to the resurrection. And it says, the depth of His love. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed His last. It says, several hundred feet beneath my chair is a lake, an underground cavern of crystalline water known as the Edwards Aquifer. We South Texans know much about the aquifer. We know its length is 175 miles. We know it lays west to east, except under San Antonio, where it runs north and south. But for all the facts we do know, there is an essential one we don't. We don't know its size, the depths of the cavern, a mystery. A number of gallons, unmeasurable. No one knows the amount of water the aquifer contains. We use it, we depend upon it, would perish without it, but measure it, we can't. Who has plumbed the depth of God's love? Only God has. Want to see the size of my love? He invites. Ascend the winding path outside of Jerusalem. Follow the dots of blood. Follow the dots of bloody dirt until you crest the hill. Before looking up, pause and hear me whisper. This is how much I love you. Ripped muscles draped his back. Blood rivulets over his face, his eyes and lips are swollen shut. Pain rages at wildfire intensity. He sinks to relieve the agony of his legs. His airway closes. At the edge of suffocation, he shoves pierced muscles against the spikes and inches up the cross. He does this for hours, painfully, up and down, until his strength and our doubts are gone. Does God love you? Behold the cross and behold your answer. God put so much love into creating man, even to the point of giving His only begotten Son, so that mankind would have an everlasting life. He is not going to give up on us today. Come to the Lord fully today and see a change in your life. Believe in it and try it. And I thank you. May the Lord be with you.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.